Fear is an important human emotion because it can protect us.
Yes.
Alerts us when we're in danger, but it can also create anxiety, it can create stress, and it can stop us in our tracks, stop us from progressing. And I lived in fear from, maybe about 12, right through into my late 30s, constant in a state of fear. Because, well, I was a drug addict from late childhood into not so many years ago. And that lifestyle just comes with an abundance of fear, looking over your shoulder, mistrust. So the kind of fear, I mean, there's different types of fear, rational, irrational, that primal fear that's innate in us. Now, the rational fear is like when my mom would say, Christopher Aaron Graham, and you know you're in bother. That's the kind of fear that just stops you in your tracks, and your brain can't work, and you're desperately trying to think of all the, because I've done stuff. But I'm trying to figure out what it is that she's found out about that I've done. You know, so that's rational fear. That's rational, because I was in imminent danger there. Growing up, I found myself in some sticky situations. I'd been kidnapped before, I'd been tortured and stuff. And there was always threat of stuff happening because, well, I was an idiot. And I got myself in situations and running with people and that lifestyle. But there was a fear that got me as an adult that I don't know how to describe the fear. It seems irrational because it wasn't going to end my life. But the fear for me, for most of my life, was not having money. It wasn't about greed or anything. It was about not having a £10 note. I was always chasing a £10 note because I knew I could get my drugs for a tenner. So, and I would get it, I would get a £10 note, but the minute I used it, the fear would come back about what am I going to have to do to get another tenner? What if I don't get that tenner? And there was a fear about the things that I knew I was capable of doing, the imagined consequences of what would happen. And then there was the fear of other people finding out when I was trying to hide it. This is before the point where it was, before it was written on me. So it was just, I was crippled by fear. And as I was progressing in my life and as God came into my life and put good people around about me, I started to see my spirit come alive because Jesus living in me, my fears started to change. So I no longer fear my mom saying Christopher Aaron Graham, because now things have changed and I'm the favourite child, which is good. As I turn up for the books, you know. But my fears have changed, and it's strange because all my fears should be irrational fears other than my fear of God. I've written a wee quote here somewhere. You get organised people who preach, said it out at Ben's last week, great, and then you get mine. So it was Max Arcado, I was looking through it, and he said, feed your fears and your faith will starve. Feed your fears and your faith will starve. And I started to question my faith because I've seen God move in my life in so many ways that I should kind of be bulletproof to fear. But that's not how we work, is it? We have doubts and we're human and things can get on top of us, and if we're not spending time in the presence of God, other things can come in and it can induce fear. And I started thinking about Daniel. I started thinking about Daniel and I'm going to pronounce him. terribly. So, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego. Thank you very much, I'm here all week. So, as you know the story, that they've been told, listen, you're going to worship, and you're going to fall before this statue that I've created. Nebuchadnezzar's created this statue. So he's going to fall before it, and you're going to worship that, you're not going to worship anybody else. As soon as you hear the music going, down in your hunkers and start praising and worshipping this idol. And they're like, it's not happening. So they're before the king, who is upset. And the punishment is a bit harsh, if you ask me. Are they going to get flung in a furnace? And even at that, I love it. So I'll read this wee bit to you. So it's, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I've set up? I'll give you one more chance to bow down, worship the statue that I've made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the burning furnace, and then what god will be able to rescue you from my power? And it's like, you know, I was thinking about how brave you would need to be to be able to do that. And the bravery for me doesn't start there in front of the king. It starts when the decision is made, when everybody else in the country bows down and worships a statue. And I'm thinking, that's where the bravery, when everybody else is doing it and saying, come on, get yourself down here. And they're like, well, no, we're not going to do that. But have you not heard about the burning furnace? Aye, we've heard about the burning furnace. Are you kidding? See, we've been roasting marshmallows from it 3 miles away, and that's how hot this furnace is. And it's there in front of everybody else, in front of everybody else, bowing down that they stand. Yeah. And I was thinking, wow, just brave guys. And I'm thinking, wow, not a bit of fear. And then it got me thinking, I'm like, they must have been afraid. Yeah. But then that's bravery, isn't it? It's not the absence of fear. It's seeing, it's being afraid, but moving forward and advancing anyway for God's purpose.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, that's amazing. How can I not do that? How can I not do that? Because sometimes I've got stuff going on where recently there's been a lot of changes in my life, and I've been faced with new fears that any failures that I have in my life will not now just affect me, but I'm a single father now for a time. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, I've got this little human that now depends solely on me. There can be no more blame shift. It's on me. And all these other things are coming into play. As you know, everybody's got fears. It could be the cost of living. It could be work. It could be home life. I don't know what it is. I don't know where your fear is based. I don't know. But I know where mine's is and where mine's comes from. And I've really been focusing on it this week, my fears. And they became so big midweek. Because they weren't that bad. I'll let you know, they weren't that bad until I started thinking about this and writing this out. And as I started writing it out and thinking about my fears, they started to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm thinking, hold on a wee minute here, this isn't going to be how I planned it. I was wanting them to get lesser and lesser and lesser. And come up here and be like, ah, yes, I am a man without fear. But I'm not. I'm still crippled by fear in certain things. The unknown. Not knowing what's going to happen. I'm always a work in progress. Every day's a school day. Because I'm always wanting to learn. But it's that thing that, as I was feeding that fear, because I was thinking about it, and that's where my thought life was.
Yeah.
That's what it became. And then you turn on the news, and it just, it's like pouring gasoline on it. Yeah. I'm walking about in a furnace. And I started going over this. And John 4:16-18 says, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love, and God is love. And all who live in love, live in God, and God lives in them. That's great. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. I try. Such love has no fear. Because perfect love expels all fear. And if we're afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. Yet for me, I don't focus on the perfect love. I don't focus on the perfect love to cast out all fear. I want to focus on the faith that allows us to receive the perfect love to cast out all fear. Because before that, Jesus is loving us nonetheless, but before we experience that perfect love, we first have to have faith. And then with this faith, sometimes have to battle with it, has to battle with fear. Because I believe, but yet there's something at that thinking, well, no, it can't be for me. That's all right for him, and that's all right for her, and they're all right, and they seem to have a lot together, and that's fine. And we try and kid on that we know everybody else's problems are all taken care of, but it's just ours that aren't getting dealt with. And it's like, we're alone, just an island. And I was thinking about my faith, where is my faith in it? And I had to step back and just say, right, God, I'm going to try and trust you. Because I've not been, of late, I've been wanting to, and it's in the forefront of my mind, no, you've got this. And then I try and do something myself to sort out the issue. But I've already tried, and I know that it's beyond me. And I don't have any power, really, other than what I'm doing just now, to sort these issues out. So I have to trust. But I'm afraid, because I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know when he's going to do it. So I have got this fear. What if he says no? What if he does something crazy? What if he changes everything? Then my fear becomes bigger. And then my faith gets less, because then I'm not trusting in what God's going to do. I'm wanting it done my way, God, is what I'm saying. Like, I love you, Lord. I love you. I would love you even more if you would just listen to me and do it the way that I want it done. And then this fear would dissipate. And understand that fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And understand that when we trust in him, he's not going to harm us. Yeah. That he's made a way, that he's brought me so far. That he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So we can stand upon these promises, that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And then my favourite verse is Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong, courageous, don't be afraid or dismayed, for I'm with you wherever you go. And then I think about it and I think, well, you know, I've commanded you to be strong and courageous. God doesn't ask anything of us that he knows that we can't do. That's his business. So if I can be strong and courageous, you know, then I can stand upon the promise of God that he'll never leave me nor forsake me, but he's going to be with me wherever I go. And these men are thrown in the fire. I'm telling you, there's fight, flight and freeze is the times of fear. I would have been on my toes. I would have been off and running. I would have been flight. You'd have just seen me, my robes and all that flying away. Shadrach and Abednego saying, where did Meshach go there? He's off. That fire, that furnace. And for me, it's a few different things at the minute. And you always get people coming in. ah, you should do this and you should do that. And I'm like, all right, okay. And it's, I don't know if it's an inbuilt thing in me, trying not share it as a man. I know it's a stereotype, but still doesn't make it any less true that we try and hold it in, because there's this social concept that we should be strong and not share our feelings, and it's all right, and how about you? Fine, great, grand. And then, you know, at night you'll have a wee heating the hands, and we're supposed to be strong. But when I'm doing it in that sort of context, it's when I'm doing it off my own strength, and that's why at night I'm sitting and I'm heating my hands and not in there. Because when I'm sitting and I'm heating my hands, it's because I've been feeding my fear. But if I'm sitting or I'm standing with my hands in air, or I'm lying down prostrate, or I'm sitting getting stuck into my word, it's because I'm feeding my faith. And I haven't been doing that. I just haven't. And you know, I could come up here and tell you, absolutely. And it's just, I have no fear now. I do have fear. And I have fear of the fire, because I've been in it before, and I felt it burn, because I was in it myself. But when the king looks down and he says, who's that? He says, I said, well, he's just threw in the fire. He says, I threw three, one, two, three, there's four in there. And even that king says, and he looks like he's the son of mine, looks like God, looks like an angel of God is walking about, and they're walking about in the fire. Nay, rolling about screaming, shouting, help me, help me, I'm in a fire. These boys are just walking about. And they're not being touched by the flames. And what happens to get them out of the fire? The king says, come on, pull them up out of the flames. And they're up out of the flames without a singe on them. And it's like, I had to say, I just had to take me out of the fire. And he says, well, you have to trust me. Though I'd be burnt, I'm not going to leave you and I forsake you. The flames aren't going to touch you. I have got you. And there's a fight going on in me. There's a fight going on in me because I know and all I believe, and I know that you're true God, and I know. But what about that? And I could see the enemies coming and attacking me, but it's my thought life. It's because I'm feeding my fear and I'm making it so big, and God's like, I'm much bigger than that problem. You've seen me move in your life to save you from worse situations than this. You've already known, I've seen God move in such a way, like I said, I'm a single father. 6 years ago, five and a half, I remember praying, Lord, I just want to be a dad, I don't want my family to fall apart, and it was chaos in my life. And I was seeing my daughter a couple of times a year, maybe, you know, and now my daughter lives with me, and her mum's about getting sorted out, hopefully. Her mum's about getting sorted out, and I'm just thinking, wow, because I remember praying, oh Lord, I don't want another broken family under my belt. And then the relationship just had fizzled out and broke down, and I was just, and I was thinking, okay, God, it's all right, I get it, you can't do that because I've messed up so bad. And the whole time God's just like, what is he talking about doing that? What is he talking about? And it's like, because it wasn't again, it was me trying to get things done in my strength and in my time. And I just, all right, okay, it's not to be, and then God moves, and he's like, can you not trust me? That it's at the right time. It's at my time. And you weren't ready before to take on this responsibility. You didn't have the good people running about you that you needed to help you and support you through this. And then God moves, and then 5 and a half years later, I've got the Wayne living with me, and her mum's away getting help that she needs, and I'm like, what an awesome God. What an awesome God, right? An amazing God. Yeah. And then I hear a knocking coming from the bottom of my car, and the fear runs through me again. I'm going, what about the awesome God bit? Oh, well, have you a time served mechanic though? Huh?
Are you a timeshare mechanic?
I don't think so. And God's like, I can do all things. I'll be able. Get rid of it. And it's little things. It could be stuff at home, and my folks are always not well, and that. And all these little fears add up into one big fear. And then I forget that God is the God who can do anything. He is the God who is bigger than my problems. He is the God that wipes away the fears that just cripple me and, you know, will make me run. Sometimes I'll run away when it's time to stand and fight. Sometimes I'll freeze when God's saying, get yourself out there. You know, there's these different types of responses to fear, the fight, flight and freeze, and they add to it all the time anyway. I'm just thinking, you know, I'm here to fight. I'm here to fight, and you're here to fight. Because it is a battle. And it can be a battle every day, and sometimes there can be a wee bit of downtime or a battle lessons, but I'm in a battle constantly. Constantly. And it's mainly with myself.
Yeah.
It's mainly with my own doubts and insecurities, and when that wee voice comes in and says, well, it's kind of getting forward, well, you're not really good enough, and then all the fears just, oh, you're right, and then again, it's that taking me away from God, taking me away from talking to the good people God's put in my life, and getting support, and then I'm alone, and then I'm easy pickings.
Yeah.
It's like when the lions go hunting. They don't pick off the biggest one. They look for the lame one, or they look for the wee one that's away from the rest of the herd, and they'll take them out. And that's kind of how you feel when you're isolated, and you're not talking about your problems to one another, you're not talking about your fears. And I don't just mean let's go and share our fears with everybody in the church. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God, and God will put people in your path that you can talk with.
Yes.
And it's important to do that. I love this. Faith is not the absence of fear, it is the presence of hope.
Yeah.
So make fear a visitor and not a resident in your heart. So I write that, innit? I wrote that bit. Just wanted to get that. That was on me. Took me ages. Sitting there like that. I brought it about five times. That sounds stupid. Ah, we're going for it. So, alright, so faith is not the absence of fear, it's the presence of hope. So make fear a visitor in your heart. Make fear a visitor and not a resident in your heart.
Yeah.
Because if it comes, it will make up its home in there, and it will stay, and it stops us, and it trips us, and the obstacle, the little bump in the road that it started off as, slowly becomes a speed bump. And if you don't get rid of it, that speed bump becomes a wall, and then that wall will add to it, and eventually that fear will become a prison and you're trapped. And I'm not saying faith. Faith isn't the opposite of fear. Fear isn't the opposite of faith. That's not what it is.
No.
The opposite of faith is I guess, unbelief. You know? So, how do we do it? How do I deepen my faith? Well, we spend time with the perfecter of it. So, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith, Hebrews 12:2. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honour beside God's throne. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Perfect love casts out all fear. Yeah? To experience that perfect love and to know it in our day-to-day relationship, our personal relationship with God, it's going to take a bit of faith where we step into that and we just throw our hands up and say, whatever it is, God, I'm going to trust in you. And it takes true courage to do that in the face of some problems that we all have to face, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
We all have wee, itty-bitty problems, And we all have big, giant, God-sorting-out problems. But when everybody else is standing about you, telling you, no, this is the way to go, let's do it this way, easier if you cut this corner. It's just a wee white line. No, listen, just don't bother about that, just get out of the way, don't tell anybody. And they ask us to compromise.
Yeah.
We'd be as well just throwing myself down and worshipping that big golden statue with everybody else. But it takes something else to stand in the face of fear and say, no, I'm going to advance. I'm going to move on in spite of my fear. Because what happens if we move on and we advance and in spite of our fear, and if God is with us wherever we go, then he's coming with us. And he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. That he's our protector. Right? That the Holy Spirit moves and he is our guide. And he's a plan and a purpose for us. That he doesn't want to harm us. Then we're moving forward. And what happens then is our faith grows and our fear dissipates. So what happens then is the hand call will outright you. Out the heart. I need my fear gone. And new fears are going to come up. But we should already know the remedy for it. It's drawing closer to God.
Yes.
Asking for strength. That even though I'm afraid, I'm going to move forward. Even though I'm afraid and I'm unsure, I know that you are sure and that you know what you're going to do. So I'm going to trust in you. I come from a place of mistrust. Distrust, mistrust. Mistrust's the right word. I come from a place of mistrust for most of my life. I didn't trust myself more than anybody else. Because I'd become such a liar that I wasn't even sure if I was lying or telling the truth anyway. And I didn't trust anybody because I put everybody in the same bracket as me. Everybody was out for themselves. Everybody, it was dog eat dog, eye for an eye, day unto others as they day unto you, only you day it first. And for me to step away from that took a lot. It took a lot. Because it took a lot for me to surrender to God. And when I did, he moved in a beautiful way in my life and he rescued me from a fear that had kept me captive for decades. So as I was telling you, when I started looking at this, my fears started getting bigger and bigger through the week. And as I was, it came to the weekend there, I had a great weekend. And I was able just to enjoy the sun, barbecue, and the wains were running outside playing, and just joy. And I was thinking, wow, what a great God. And all those fears that I had made so big in my head had dissipated. And I'm thinking, why? Because I was able to enjoy the gifts that God has put before me, good friends, my family, my daughter. Thinking, wow. And I was thinking about it last night. I was thinking about the purpose that God has put into my life. And thinking, wow, thank you, God. And then I started to think, you know what, it's true. You've not left me. I'm not forsaken. Does it mean I'm all my fears gone? No. Standing before you, there's still some things I'm afraid about because I don't know how it's going to work out. And I don't know what it's going to mean. Because I don't understand how God thinks. And I'm not going to try. I've already tried being his advisor. And it didn't work out. But I know that God's got me. I've seen God move in such a fantastic way. And I'm like, no, God, I know that you're going to move. I know that you hear the cry of my heart. And I thank you for it. And my heart isn't. I'm not crippled with fear as I once was. I have faith and I want it to grow. But for that, I need to get deeper and deeper into my relationship with Jesus Christ. Which, some days, amazing. Fantastic. Other days, just pulling my hair out, trying to get washings in, and trying to get it not smell like damp after I've trying to dry it, so it's on out of me, all that, you know. Because little things can just detract us from what God's doing in our life, and that God's there, and who God is. He's not just the perfecter of our faith, He is our champion. Yeah? He's the head of heaven's armies. You don't get there without being able to throw down. And He loves me, and He's got my back, and He's always with me. And I need to remember that. I don't know if you need to remember that. Because you might be facing some problems today that could be the day with your health, could be the day with your finances, it could be the day with your family, it could be work, it could be a little thing, it could be a huge big thing. And you can just be stressing it over it. And I'm not telling you to blindly just start whistling and skipping down the corridors as if everything's okay, because sometimes everything's not okay. But for us, we should know that God's moving. We might not understand what He's doing, we might not have a clue what He's doing or how He's going to fix it, but He's God, it's His business today, but we don't know. So as I'm talking to you and even sharing this with you, my fear has dissipated a wee bit more. And my faith is growing because I bring to mind all the times that God has moved and done the impossible. Right? So He's done the impossible, and I'm thinking, well, it's not as if He's took a holiday. It's not as if He's stopped. It's not as if He's been like, ah, well, that's 42 things I've done for you, Chris. That's it. No more. No, no. He's still God. He's still on the throne. He's still going. And it's about what we feed. So I wanted to read Psalm 121 at the end of this. I look up to the mountains, and where does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, and will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord Himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. Sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. And I just thought, thank you, God. Yeah. Thank you that you are there, that you are my protector. Help me to keep that at the forefront of my mind, especially when those bouts of fear come that seem to stop me in my tracks, that make me believe that this is it, there's no help, there's nobody there that cares, and the self-pity comes in, and the tears, and that you're there, God, that you're always God, that you're always moving.
Yes.
For my fear not to be bigger than my faith. Why end on this? Is that? I don't know what the time is. What's the time?
12:25.
Is it? I think that's that half an hour? Half an hour, isn't it? Right. So, I was told half an hour. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "We have no need to answer you in this matter." This is when they're about to get launched. They've been accused and all bowing down, he says. And they say, "Well, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." So they don't even know if God's going to save them from the fire. They're saying to themselves, "You know what, make the gods will that we burn up today." But I'm not yielding to that fear. I'm not yielding to your peer pressure to fall down and worship a false god, because I know that's breaking my commandments, and my God's a jealous God, and He doesn't want me worshipping false gods. And you can stand there and try and throw out plan B's and try and sway me. Wait, give me another chance. I don't need another chance. I'm going to stand strong, and I'm going to put my faith over my fear and say it's going to be God's will and not mine. And that's it. For me, dissipate that fear more and more and grow my faith is to say, God, your will be done. Your will be done. Because I know, Lord, that whatever it is going to be for my good. Because I love you. And you love me with a perfect love. So help me have the faith to believe that more and more so that my faith just goes. And my fear just goes boom, crashing down. And I hope that for you as well. I've rambled a bit. I haven't used any of this except two wee bits, by the way. Two wee bits I've used. Spent ages writing it. But I just felt God saying, listen, whatever it is that you're crippled with fear, God's bigger than it.
I'm facing my fear right now. Awesome. Lady Catherine and I, Fiona and I, were at a conference yesterday about trusting God. It was just an amazing day, which Fiona
blacked out.
It was great, it was really good. But my greatest fear is standing up and speaking publicly with people. And there were so many testimonies and I was itching to go. So I thought, what would I say about me? And I started, I thought, no, it's not about me, it's about us.
Yes.
Amen. That's it. Awesome. Faith over fear. Do you know how I got into this? Anybody know Jerry Cinnamon? No, Jerry Cinnamon's a singer and he's got a song and it's Hope Over Fear. But I was singing the wrong words, I was singing Faith Over Fear, and it just and from that my fears grew, and then I thought I need to get God to sort this. So God is the answer to whatever fear is crippling you right now. Alright? Lord Jesus, as we just come to more worship, we just pray that we don't let fear be in control. That we don't let fear hinder and hold us back from stepping into and standing upon the promises that you have set out before us. And Lord, and we're going to face fear. You haven't promised, Lord, to take it all away and we don't have to face fear anymore. It's a human emotion that can come and save us and tell us when we're in danger. But what do we do when we're in danger? We turn to our protector and our champion, which is you. So when we do face fear, Lord, we pray that we can be strong and courageous, not be afraid nor dismayed, because we know, as your people, that you are with us wherever we go. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.